Well, good morning, everyone. We are daily confronted with further news concerning the struggle between Yaakov and Esau. And the Chofetz Chaim said a few times that today we don't have prophets, but we do get messages from what's happening in the world with regard to the Jewish people. It's like a message to us, which is already written in the prophets. And the prophets, starting from also the forefathers, also prophets. It's written black and white, the Sefer Torah, and afterwards in the Nevi'im. But we don't see it happening. That time they didn't see it happening. But today we see it happening. And day by day, it's like there's new aspects to it. Who would have thought that the International Peace Court of The Hague would say Hamas are not terrorists. That's the power of Esau. This is the dark period before the dawn. Anyway, let's see now how this is referred to here in this dialogue between Yaakov and the Prince of Esau. So Rav Huna says, in the end, the angel said, I will reveal to Yaakov the blessing. And if the Holy One blessed me, he will say to me, why did you reveal it to him? Then I will say in front of him, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the World, Nevi'echa, your prophets, they issue decrees, and you don't nullify their decrees. So therefore, can I nullify their decrees? Now to understand this, I will reveal the blessing to Yaakov, the blessing that he will receive from God in the future. His claim was, if the angel were to accede to Yaakov's demand, then he too would be revealing a secret of Hashem. And it says in the book of Eob, you utter a decree and it would be done. This reference to Yaakov. Yaakov's demand that I reveal to him God's future blessing. So what did you say to him? In the future, God will appear to you in Beit El and you're going to change your name to Israel. And I too will be standing there. I am the prince, the power of Esau. That's why it says in the prophet of Hosea, he struggled with an angel and he prevailed over him. The angel wept and beseeched him. In Beit El he will find us and there he will speak to us. It does not say Imcha, it's not they're going to speak with you, but rather it's written, Peshomira Berimanu, they will speak with us. In other words, it's a very unusual situation. That really the change of name of Yaakov was given later on by Hashem himself. But Yaakov, when he was in this wrestling with prince of Esau. So he wanted a blessing. The blessing, the change of name, in other words, is a blessing. He didn't mean that from that time on, Yaakov's name would be Yisrael, because that has to be decided by Hashem. But rather, at some point in the future, God will give him the name Israel. In other words, the name Israel has a connotation of nobility, Sara, indicate that Yaakov received the blessings from his father Yitzchok by right, rather through deceit and subterfuge, as one could construe from the name of Yaakov. This is Rashi's interpretation. This is because when Esav found out that Yaakov had received the blessing, although it's true that the blessing was connected with the birthright, which he has as it were, he sold it to Yaakov. It also has a deep symbolic significance. But he felt he should still get it. He should get the blessing. And he came out, if you look at the passage, when Esau found out, he said, Al-Kein Karashama Yaakov. Why was his name given Yaakov? Vayakveni Zepamayim. He has now deceived me in two ways. It says, he's, as it were, gone behind my heel in two ways. Because he was originally called Yaakov because Yado Chezet Bakem Esav. When they were both born, so it was Yaakov who came out after Esav from the womb, holding the heel of Esav. That's what's described in the Chumash. This is also a prophetic concept. In other words, Yaakov was the second born, is at the heel of Esav in physical matters. But then, when it came to being a Bechor, is a Bechor amongst other nations, was a concept. Since he's born first, he is the more powerful one. He's the more powerful in the family or in the tribe. And therefore he is nurtured, let's say, in a tribe, in a clan, in ancient times. Until today in some societies over the world, the chieftain, his family, there's concepts of inheritance. The first one born takes over to be nurtured in the future chieftain. In whatever is their lifestyle, he's the more powerful one. There's an aspect of it also in the Hebrew laws of Yerusha. The first one gets a double portion. Even, let's say, a person's got a few children, and the firstborn is only interested in business, and it's not so particularly about mitzvahs, let's say. And the later ones, there's a second or third son born who is dedicated to a high level of morality, a high level of mitzvahs, a high level of learning. It makes no difference. The firstborn gets a double portion. So in physical matters, that's accepted. And there's reason, deeper reasons for it as well. But in the Torah, right from the beginning, gracious, all the way through, yeah, with Cain and Hevel, with the sons of Noah, then the sons of Terach, and the sons of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There's a change. And that the main change comes with Yaakov. There were only two. And Esav is indeed the first one physically, but not fit for the Bechora. Which aspect of the Bechora? Maybe the aspect of the spiritual covenant. Because with Avraham Avinu began a different approach to life. Life is there to spread godliness in the world. Physical matters are needed support, But the ideal society is the one where morality and the powers of the spirit and the conscience, this is the real purpose of the human being. So that's the Bechoy, that's the concept. That's the contrast also, the parshas we're reading now, between the Bechoyre Mitzrayim and the Bechor of Am Yisrael. And Hashem said, Am Yisrael is my Bechor, because I'm the father of the family of mankind. And they're the ones who recognize me as the true father. And they try to spread it. So here also, Esav was a materialist. And Yaakov dedicated himself, Yishtam, Yoshevu Alim. And when Esav came in from a hunting journey, where he committed quite a few capital crimes, and it was the day of the death of Avraham Avinu, so he wanted instant gratification. And for that he was ready to give up every aspect of life. So in other words, that's the concept behind it. Nevertheless, he said, he was still thought, well, I want to be part of the heritage from Avraham and Yitzchak. And Yitzchak thought maybe he could be part of the Jewish people, but he looked after material things. And Yaakov look after the spiritual aspect of life. And Rivka, who had been used to deceit in her home, her parents, so she saw that Esav was really deceiving Yitzchak, therefore she gave him the garments of Esav to receive the blessing. That means the blessing of Yitzchak was given to Yaakov, and even the materialistic aspects also, because Esav couldn't be included. Not in the special role to be in the kingdom of priests and holy nation. Because he would have twisted it for materialistic purposes instead of for the spiritual and moral aspect of the Jewish people. So this battle between Yaakov and Esav is the following. Esav, when he came out and he found that he wasn't given the blessing, he used the phrase, why was he called Yaakov? Two things he's done now. One thing, he took away my birthright, because at that time he was in the mood that like materialists are often, they change their approach. When he comes back exhausted from his materialistic and even criminal pursuits, so then he realizes that the spiritual things mean nothing to him. He used the phrases there that Vayivas Esav Achura, he despised it. I don't want this birthright, not this type. I'm only interested in physical things. We're not going to involve more self-discipline and more kindness. That's not my style. But then he said, so that's one way he calls it deceit, because he changed his mind when he saw he's still missing out. And then now he took away my blessing as well. Like Vayim Zephamayim. So now the struggle between Yaakov and Saroshel Esav, as we described already, this is a symbol also of the power of evil in man and in mankind. So he said, you want a blessing from me? Really, blessings can only come from Hashem? You'll have to wait. But I'll reveal the secret to you. That he's going to change your name. And he's going to speak with us. Not just with you. Because it's going to affect me as well. They will speak with us. So the angel, the archangel of Esav, was adding, he would also be there. Concurring with the name, he would agree that the name should be changed, acknowledging Yaakov's entitlement to Yitzchak's blessing. In this, here, he said, I agree that you should be blessed. So indicating that the angel would also be there when God appears to Yaakov and changes his name, So Yaakov did not accept the angel's promise. And she said, you're going to, she said, in other words, the angel said to him, you wait. Just wait. And I'm going to bless you later on, when Hashem blesses you, but not now. So it just says, Jacob did not accept the promise of the angel. They were forced to accede there and then. The blessings were legitimately Jacob's. That's why it says, Vorech Otosham, then he blessed him there. There he blessed him. Now, I think we can explain this, that this is a reference to what's happening today. Now, Israel, unfortunately, we're not yet at that stage, as far as the nations of the world are concerned, that Israel is demonized by the powers of Esau today. They're not willing to accept, as yet, that we are the nation that can bring blessing to the whole world. And this is referred to in the next passage, in the next verse. So it says, in verse 28 and 29, it said, okay, I'm not letting him go unless I bless you now, even before the blessing comes from Hashem. So he said to him, Mashemecha, what is your name? And he said, Yaakov. He said, Vayomer lo Yaakov, Yemer ot Shemecha. Your name will no longer be explained as Yaakov. Now this, like the other passage, other verses here, are explained more thoroughly by the later prophets. Because Yeshaya says, Mikim Tava Avdo Vatat Malachav Yashlim. That God confirms the words of his servant and fulfills the counsel of his messengers. To simile, Yeshaya and the other prophets predicted the rebuilding of Yerushalayim and the future redemption. As it continues, who says of Yerushalayim, it shall be settled, and of the city of Yehuda they were built up, and I will rebuild its ruins, even before it happened. So we see from here the change of name is the building of Beit HaMikdash, the future, the redemption. And Rabbi Brechia says, follows, Mi shehu mekim dva avto vatsad melachim yashlim, Eino yodim shehu omer l'Yerushalayim, Toshav, Toshav, ulor Yehuda yitibane. Since the verse says that Hashem confirms the words of his servant and fills the counsel of his messengers, that means the prophecies, don't we already know that this means that Yerushalayim will be inhabited and the city of Yehuda will be built up? I think we can ask specifically, why is there so frequent mention in the prophets of Yerushalayim and Yehuda? It's called the West Bank Yehuda v'Shomron. Of course, part of the West Bank is Yehuda, and the 10 tribes were settled there. It's the capital of Shomron. So we not only look forward to the nation of the world recognizing Yerushalayim is the eternal capital of the Jewish people, but also that this will bring about the rebuilding not only of the area of Yerushalayim and of the Galil, but also of the whole West Bank. So he says, so therefore the Midrash says, this verse does not only refer to those aspects of final redemption. It also refers to the change of name of Yaakov. It's the angel who appeared to our forefather Yaakov, that's his servant. As it's written, what is your name? He said, no longer will your name be Yaakov, but your name will be Israel. Vatzat malachav yashlim, shenigla kodesh boruch hu al Yaakov avinu. Because Hashem appeared to Yaakov, b'shvil ekayim gezeirato shel oto malach she'amar lo. And that Hashem appeared to Yaakov himself, later, in Beit El, in order to confirm what the angel already prophesied. When he said, Lo Yaakov, Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Lokem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it to him as well. The angel didn't actually change Yaakov's name. He was saying that his name would be changed in the future. So when God did change Yaakov's name, he was willing, he was fulfilling the angel's statement. And that's why it says, your name is Yaakov. It says later on in chapter 35, verse 10, Hashem said directly to Yaakov in Beit El, your name is shall no longer be Yaakov, but Israel. Israel, Yeshemecha. So also with respect to Yerushalayim, where so many prophets prophesied it would be rebuilt, Allah al-Kama v'chama she'ekayim divrei liv'av, how much more so will Hashem confirm the words of his prophets? It also come true. In other words, the whole vision here between Yaakov and Sarah Shal Esav is a premonition of the level of Yaakov under in trouble and at the heel of Esav, which will be transformed into the opposite, that the nations of the world will give up their hostility. You have any questions on this? So what is the real meaning then of this name? It's explained later in the Midrash, the next pasuk, Kitak. Why will your name be changed? Ki soriso emerokim v'aneshim atuchal. Because you struggled with heavenly beings and with human beings, and you overcame them. The Midrash explains more. What do you mean, heavenly beings? This reference to the angel himself. As the sages say, Sarosh Shel Esav Haya. Now, you know that we have a similar change of name with whom?
Avram.
With Avram. When was his name changed?
Brit Milah. Abraham to Avram.
And what's the meaning of it? The change of name? Avraham?
Hay is for Hashem.
Hamoglim. Av Hamoglim.
Beforehand, he was just Avram, he was, you can call him a high-level father or a teacher. Or it could also mean Av Aram. Aram was the general name for a big part of the Middle East. Aram Narayim is Mesopotamia, the area around the two large rivers, the Tigris and Euphrates. And Aram is due to different parts of Syria. So it was after he had an influence there. But when he took the Brit Milah, Hashem said, now you're going to become the teacher and the one who promotes the true religion for all mankind. And that's Avraham Avinu. Then his name was changed. And the Gemara said, if somebody today calls Avraham Avram, he transgresses a prohibition. Because it says, your name should henceforth only be called Avraham. Doesn't mean if you got a son and you gave him Avraham, that it's forbidden for you to say Avraham. Because that's, there's no direct prohibition upon using the name in general. But someone refers particularly to Avraham Avinu, and he calls him Avraham, he's transgressing this commandment of Hashem that his name should no longer be called Avram, but Avraham. So they ask the question, why is the Gemara asks in here also in this Midrash, why did we say the same about Yaakov and Israel? Because it also says your name will no longer be called Yaakov, but Israel. But we do often speak about Yaakov Avinu and don't call him Israel. And not only that, in the whole of the Tanakh, the people of Israel are given the name of Yaakov, Beit Yaakov, all the time. They give both names. Why is there a difference? And especially, we should expect, since there was this struggle between Yaakov and the princely part of Esau, that means the essential spirit of the anti-Semitism which exists in the world until today, that we should always call him Israel. We should always call the people of Israel Israel. But no, are frequently called Yaakov. And Yaakov is much worse in its connotation than Avram. Because Yaakov means he's at the heel of Esau. But it means he's deceiving. At least that's how the Esau distorts the truth already when he came to the world almost. Also another question we can ask. Avram and Yitzchak, we know they also had a lot of troubles with the other nations. Avram with Sodom, and then afterwards with the four kings. And then Yitzchak also, it's mentioned in Chumash that he had problems with Avimelech and others. When Yaakov struggled, he still limped. Which otherwise was not complete. So, this explanation of Rav Hutner, also one of my teachers. Avram was the forerunner of all Galen proselytes, the first person to become a Jew. Yitro was firstborn Jew, holy from birth, and circumcised on the eighth day. Yaakov was the first irrevocable Jew. When Avram's son, Ishmael, Yitzchak's son, Esau, rebelled against their fathers, they became apostates, they were removed from the Jewish nation. But with Yaakov it's different. No descendant of Yaakov, and no Jew, can ever separate from his people. Any descendant of Yaakov, born of Jewish mother, cannot abrogate his Jewishness. Even if he becomes a disbeliever, a renegade, and maybe with regard to certain halachot, he's treated like a non-Jew, he's still deemed part of Am Yisrael. Av al pi shechata Yisrael hu. Any Jew, even let's say a Jewish anti-Semite, and unfortunately there are such people today, and have been since Hitler. There was in fact one of the early supporters of Hitler. He was called Weininger. He was a very strong anti-Semite. He was born Jew. And he was so anti-Semitic that he decided to commit suicide. Yeah, got into a big tangle. Well, today there also, unfortunately, you'll find many, I don't know who the heads of BTS, but the many that say, you know, we have to forget about Judaism and about Israel. Also, we have to forget about Israel. So, but doesn't Abishai Chodesh Yisrael? We can be reawakened by sincere repentance. Is it born a Jew? Is forever a Jew? That was the achievement of Yaakov. But this very achievement brought into the nation something incomplete. Before Yaakov, a renegade Jew didn't tear the fabric of the nation. He just left the nation. The nation left behind remained complete. But Yaakov's descendants remained forever bound by the covenant. The sins of the apostates among them remained the sins of the Jewish people. And the nation of the whole is incomplete. This is symbolized by Yaakov's incomplete victory over the angel of evil. The injury to Yaakov's thigh alludes to the harm that Edom would do to the descendants of Yaakov in the generation of religious persecution. The righteous ones would stand firm and prevail, but some Jews would succumb. They still remain part of Israel's body. So Israel would limp. So today Israel is limping heavily. Because it's only a smaller minority of the Jewish people who can walk straight according to the Torah. But others are limping. There have been a few generations of that. Intermarried, assimilated. This is why Yaakov's change of name was different. He'd become Israel by overpowering his heavenly adversary. But his victory was incomplete until his limp would heal. An element of Yaakov, the one who's trodden down, who's at the heel of Esau, would remain. Esau's repeated decrees against our faith would continue to cause defection from Jewish ranks. It's only the end of days when those who are saved will ascend the Mount of Esau to exact judgment, and the kingdom will be that of Hashem. Then Israel will no longer be Yaakov. Then the covenant God established for Yaakov as a statute will be for Israel an everlasting covenant. So this explains many things. Any questions on this? So let's go on a bit. We say, what lies at the root of Israel? You've struggled. With the heavenly beings, the angel himself. Because the angel was the archangel of Esau. That's why it says after our kin, we easy ponech rois b'nei elokim. It's like seeing a godly face to see you. And what is a godly face? It's b'nei elokim zedin. This reference to judgment. And your face is conducting judgment. And what do you mean, Penelokim? Just with respect to the face of God. when you come to the sanctuary of the temple, you shouldn't come empty-handed. Avad v'lo yirai f'nari kom. With respect to yourself, also, you should not appear to your face empty-handed, which means that the angel was, in other words, if you want to deal with Esav, then it's good to come with appeasement, as Yaakov did. How was Yaakov able to avoid after this steep struggle? Then when he came down to earth, he was faced with Esav with his 400 men. How was he able to deal with them? By not being empty-handed. He used appeasement and diplomacy, which led to a situation that Esau was willing to leave Yaakov alone. Indication today as well, with perhaps increased diplomacy, would be able to diminish the hostility and the dangers from the powers of Esau. Now we go back to Vimanashim. These are the lower powers. Who are the lower powers? That's Esau and his chiefs. That means the tribes of Esau will not triumph over Yaakov. In the end, Yaakov will win. And there's another interpretation. What does it mean, Sarita Milokim, the struggle? It means you are the one whose image is engraved in the upper realm. The angel was telling Yaakov that it was a Tsar prince, like the angel on high, that his image is engraved on the heavenly throne. And among men also, Yaakov was considered a great prince and nobleman. So, after he'd received the name, so it says in the next verse, verse 30, Vayishal Yaakov, so Yaakov asked him, Vayishal Yaakov, you tell me your name. Now, what names do the angels have? So one verse says, we said this morning, in chapter 147, Zimoni Mitzvah Lakachovim, Lechulam Shemot Yikra Hashem, count the stars, he gives them all a name. Another pasuk, Hamotziv Mispar Tzavaam, Chulam Hashem Yikra. He calls them all by name. Which means he's called by different names. He keeps changing. And that's what he says. The Maluch said to him also, in different contexts, why do you ask my name Upilai? My name keeps changing. And he also said, I can't give you my name. A name is an identifier. Yaakov knew that this was the angel of Esau, who represented Satan and the Yetzara. He wanted to know who the angel was. In that way, Yaakov could be on guard against the angel's future attacks and plots. The angel replied that knowledge of its present name was pointless, for the evil inclination always changing, always coming in new different guises. It's pointless to know what his name is today, for tomorrow it'll be different. The defense tactics one devises today won't be effective against the new strain that shows up tomorrow. The angel himself doesn't know what his name will be next. Yet the same angel wouldn't tell his name to Yaakov, says to him, your name will be Israel, for you have striven to overcome divine and human powers. Yaakov will always be Israel, the one who strives and overcomes. The name will never change. What does this mean? Each day brings new challenges. Each generation faces different threats to the spiritual survival. Our children will confront unnamed and unimagined dangers. We cannot yet fight what we cannot yet see. But our name will always be Yisrael. It means, with the power of God, we'll be able to rule, to have power over the evil inclination. But here again we have the concept of evil and the evil in the world, which I start with today. We see that Esav, the age of, let's say, many of the spokesmen of today's European mentality, is to demonize Israel and to accept all the falsification and lies of the extreme fundamentalist Muslim propaganda with their cruelty toward Hamas, who put Muslims who are to shoot their rockets out all over the south, they did. And they put them in hospitals and in ambulances and of course in mosques. Sometimes they have innocent Muslims to act as a human shield. And they're today been accepted by the European Hague so-called parliaments for peace and morality. And they today term as being not called terrorists. Well, perhaps in comparison to what the Daesh is doing, and they have cells all over Europe, and they've taken over now affiliated to a third of Syria. It's a more extreme group. What's a part of ASAP? Also based upon false propaganda. That's the news today, the power of Esau. But the struggle in Yaakov and Esau exists with me, exists in myself. I also have to struggle with it, because we all get a new Yetzirah every day. And that's why we also got to learn Torah anew each day. There are all different types of ways in which temptations come to us, each one of us. And by constant learning of Torah and learning of Musa, especially, that means Musa is to try to understand how the Torah should be applied to myself, to be cheshbon ha-nefesh, so we're working on it every day. So day by day we have temptations not to get up for davening and to be tempted by things we can see on the screen, which are not good for our moral development. We're tempted to take an extra portion, maybe, of food when perhaps we're taking it away from somebody else. We're even going to have double. Take double. Or that a person asks for help, we don't help them. So each one of us, or we get angry easily. And the Yetzirah keeps on changing. The news every day. That's why we say we should, for you are very meil, these words of holiness we say in the tefillah should be over your double heart, alav avecha, or yetzer tov, yetzer ra, hayom, today.